I want to thank him for reminding me that I had to that I got to preach this Sunday. I had it in my mind that I was a week out, and on Wednesday he comes to me and asks me what would I like read, and I said, "Oh, Monday, I'm not even thinking about that. I still have a week and a half." He said, "You're up Sunday." So thanks for the reminder. This morning I wanted to talk about a subject that I would like for us all to, or I'm going to ask a question, and by the end of this talk, I'd like for you each to have an answer in your own mind about that. And that is, the question is, what kind of leaven are you? What kind of leaven are you? When I speak today or this morning, when I talk about leaven, I want you to be thinking about the interchangeable word that we use today, which is yeast. 2 weeks ago, I was in my car and I was listening, as I do every morning on the way to work, to the Bible. And in Luke chapter 12, Christ warned his disciples of the leaven of the Pharisees. And that warning got me to thinking, if that warning was good enough for his disciples, does that warning still apply to me today? And the answer, I believe, is absolutely. When I started researching my thoughts for this topic, I thought I would dive in. Tad had given us a neat little tool for putting together a sermon. I thought, well, I'm going to just dive in and learn everything I can learn about yeast. Well, in about an hour and a half, I realized I knew all I needed to know, which was about a little bitty fraction, and that was enough. I had no idea there are hundreds of variations of yeast. I had no clue. So I tried to pare it down into something that I thought, okay, well, I want to know a little bit about yeast. And so I said, what's the most common forms of yeast? And there's many people that will agree that there's basically four main types of yeast. And for those of you who bake, you probably knew this. But there's a baker's yeast. There is a nutritional yeast. There's a brewer's yeast. And there's a distiller and wine yeast. Those are basically your four main types of yeast. Now, within those four main types are hundreds, maybe thousands, of variations of yeast. And for those of us who don't bake, we probably didn't know that there is a fresh yeast, which is usually for baking your cakes and goods, and there's an instant and dry yeast for baking breads. Well, the one thing I found is when I was doing all this homework, all these good-looking breads and pastries and things kept coming up. And, of course, that was one late night. And I'm like, man, I got to quit looking at this. Yeast is a good thing. Leaven is a good thing. It can be a great thing, especially if you're wanting to bake something that will rise. So this morning, I didn't come to teach you about yeast. But what I did want to do is take probably one of the shortest parables in the Bible, a one-verse parable about leaven, and make a point that I think that all of us needs to take away today. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, and there's in Matthew chapter 13, I think there's like nine parables, if I remember. There's a lot of them. You got the parable of the soils. You've got the parable of the mustard seed, which is short, just before this one. And then you've got this one that's just a verse. But this parable says, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid three measures of meal till it was leavened. That's it. Well, when you look at this parable of leaven and you make a comparison to that of the mustard seed, we see some similarities. Not only similarities in what was being taught, but similarities in the fact that the mustard seed parable is very short as well. It's very brief. And a lot of times we were given an explanation about the parable. No explanation given about the mustard seed and the one about leaven. They both appear to be describing the remarkable spread of the kingdom of heaven. This morning, I want to discuss the effectiveness of leaven. And I want to tell you and remind you that we are all leaven. The question is, are you good leaven or are you bad leaven? Because all of us sitting here today are leaven. All of us. I promise you, you have an influence. So, remember, as we're looking at this, are you good leaven and you have a positive impact or are you bad leaven? The background information on leaven. Well, what is leaven? Well, we know that a very, very, very small portion of fermented dough will ferment other dough. And it doesn't take a lot. A very little bit. When you insert it into a batch of anything, bread or a cake or a whatever that you want to rise or permeate, it continues a process of fermentation until the entire batch has risen. Whatever you put it in is going to cause that batch to rise. Today, when I talked about leaven, I said I want you to be thinking about yeast instead of leaven. The same thing. There are symbolic uses of leaven. In the New Testament, leaven is typically associated of a corrupting influence. We see that quite a bit. But Jesus warned the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, which included their teaching of hypocrisy. He warned many of that, especially his disciples. In Matthew chapter 16, if you want to go with me there, I'm going to read a few verses. Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. And when his disciples come together on the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Is it because we have taken no bread?" But when Jesus perceived it, he said to them, "O ye of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand and remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I do not speak to you concerning bread? But you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then they understood, and they did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus basically says to him here, how do you not get this? You've seen the miracles I perform. We're not talking about food here. I'm talking about this leaven. I'm talking about something that is corrupting. In Luke chapter 12, verse 1, "In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so they had trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, 'First of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.'" He wanted them to understand this. He wanted them to see that their hypocrisy can spread, and it is a very dangerous thing. Paul wrote of this danger, how little leaven leavens a whole lump. Again, those of you who bake understand this. It doesn't take much, and you put it in a lump. You put it in whatever you're making, and it will leaven that whole group. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 1 through 13, I'm not going to read that for you, but to paraphrase that, there was sexual immorality that was happening. And he was trying to warn them. Paul was trying to warn them, and instead of removing the person from amongst them, they didn't. They allowed this to continue. And apparently, I guess they were even fairly boastful about the matter. I don't know how many, but there was boasting. And even to the point he makes the comment that even the pagans wouldn't allow this. Well, that's pretty amazing to point out that even the worst wouldn't allow what's happening right here. Later he points out that he says, "Hey, I told you, don't associate with sexually immoral people. Don't associate with those who are greedy, who are swindlers, who are idolaters, who are revilers, drunkards." And then in the very end of that, he says, don't even eat with these people. So it's one thing to associate, hang out, be with them. It's another to just have a meal. He says, don't even do that. Don't eat with these people. Don't associate with these people. And he says, purge out this person amongst you. Why? Well, because he understood how leaven works. He understood how contagious something that's evil can be with other people. He understood that this little bitty cancer, if you will, can really cause the body a lot of damage. It can ruin an entire batch or group of people. Have you ever seen what one negative attitude can do at work? A lot of you smile because you have. Have you ever managed a little negative attitude? It's a pain. It's a real problem. Have you ever played on a team that has a negative attitude? It can bring an entire team down. Well, some can conclude that leaven represents evil. And yeah, it can. And yes, it did in many instances. But there are several examples and things I want to take of and think about in our lesson that represent the good. Leaven is like many other things. There are pros and cons, right? As I was looking on the internet, I saw those beautiful baked goods. Oh, it made me think, ooh, leaven's a great thing. And it is. I want you to think about, have you ever been in an interview and someone asked you to maybe talk about your good characteristics? Think back to that interview. And then they say, well, tell me about one of your good characteristics that can also be bad. Because we know that some of the best of things can be a problem. You know, I was thinking about this. Someone that's outspoken, that's a good thing. I asked Amy, I said, give me one characteristic that immediately comes to mind that's a good thing that can be a bad thing. She says, someone that's outspoken. I couldn't agree more. Being outspoken is not a bad thing. We as Christians at times need to be outspoken. But do you know someone that's outspoken about everything? They have an opinion about everything. Over time, it's like, it wears you down. I don't want you to be outspoken anymore. Thanks. I appreciate it. I don't need to hear it anymore. It can be a good thing, but it can be a bad thing. Leaven is that same way. If applied correctly, it can be a wonderful thing. But if like a cancer, it can be a horrible thing. The last phrase of verse 33 would suggest that the kingdom is destined to fail if it was a bad thing. The leaven is eventually to fill the whole loaf. Well, if leaven only represents corrupting things, then guess what? That'd be a pretty discouraging thing. Because if it's just bad all the time and it leavens the whole loaf and it leavens the world, then that would mean only bad things are going to happen. And we know that that's not the plan. So what's the meaning of this parable? Well, the kingdom's growth is pervasive. That is, it has the quality to permeate or to spread or to flow throughout the world. Have you ever planted something that's pervasive? Have you ever seen on the side of the highway, sometimes maybe going up an exit or an off-ramp, they plant these pervasive plants and they just spread. It's ground cover. It's great. We'll talk to Mike about a pervasive plant out in his pasture. How good is it for the hay? It's terrible. For those of you who golf, if you don't golf at all, this won't mean anything to you. But if you golf and you've looked at a beautiful green one that's just perfect, bent grass, and it's just lush. The ball rolls perfectly on it. Everything's perfect. But if you get a little bit of poana in that green, and you see this little discolored patch, and you think, that's weird. What is that? Well, it's not good for a green. It's different color. It feels different. It has a different texture. It causes your ball to bump and jump around. And you know what's interesting about poana? It can start as a little bitty nothing. And I've gone to a golf course, and you go back a year later, and it's like, what happened? This entire green is filled with poana. It's ruined. It's destroyed. Okay, for those of you who don't play golf, how about Bermuda grass? You ever had it in your yard? You ever seen what Bermuda grass will do if not handled or taken care of appropriately? It just takes over. Now, some of you love Bermuda grass, and it's not a bad thing, but it will take over your yard. That is a pervasive plant. That's something that's pervasive. In time, it will take over. I believe the loaf represents the world here, and the leaven is the kingdom. Thus, the kingdom of God, or the reign of heaven, or God, will gradually make influence in the world. And we saw that. We see it. We read about it. Leaven is in the form of the gospel, described as the word. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19 says, When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. The word was proclaimed to all creation. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, it says, And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. They were preaching throughout the land, spreading the good word in the form of the church, which spreads as people accept the gospel. And the influence of the word and the church as the influence is felt in society. This parable illustrates, I think, the invisible growth of the kingdom. When you see leaven work, what do you really see? You see the end result. If I put a little leaven in a loaf or a little yeast, I don't physically see that bacteria do what it does. Now, I see the end result of it. I see that loaf of bread that was a ball that's now a loaf. But I didn't really get to see that inner working and that bacteria. Well, guess what? We're the same way. There's a lot of little things happening that spread the gospel. There are folks that we know that go to the Philippines and say and do things. I was reading on Facebook how things that Tom Woody did many years ago are now taking root and spreading. What are you doing that seems little at the time that is spreading and taking root? The kingdom's influence will be complete. Speaking of this loaf, Jesus said, till it was all leavened. No part of the loaf or the world will be untouched by the influence or the kingdom of heaven. The gospel did indeed spread, as was expressed by Paul. It spread like wildfire. Romans chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. That's how it was. Romans 16, verses 25 and 26. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandments of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. Colossians 1 and 6 and 23. Which has come to you, has it also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it also is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth? It was spreading to the ends of the world. All had heard. So what can be our application to this parable? Well, I think there's a few things. One is not to lose heart. Don't measure the growth or success of the kingdom solely by those things that we can see. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes it is working, as we say, behind the scenes. It's working in small ways. And we look maybe in our congregation, we go, well, we're not really growing. Or over here in another congregation that gets smaller, or they disappear. And we measure it by that sometimes. We shouldn't. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21 says, Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, The kingdom of God does not come with observation nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. We have the kingdom of God within us. And it's that second part of that verse 21 that is really, really important. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. It's within me. How do we help others to have that kingdom within them? We must be like that little bit of leaven that's going to leaven the whole lump. The spread of the kingdom or the rule of God is taking place wherever the word of the kingdom is being sown. How's your sowing been lately? He reminds us to remain confident that just like the parable before it, the mustard seed, it will become as a great tree. It starts as something little bitty. Started in a small portion of the loaf and will eventually spread through the whole loaf. So, are you doing your part to be a leavening influence? I think this is the most important part of this lesson. And it's short and it's, I hope, sweet and to the point. Every one of us today is leaven. And I might add, influential. We're all influential. You're either going to be a good influence or a bad influence. That's what's happening. You don't really have an option. You are leaven. You see, our actions and our words are very influential, whether you mean them to be or not. We're constantly influencing others, and you probably just don't realize it. I guarantee you, for those parents that are sitting here today, you're influencing your kids. For sure, that is happening. For grandparents, you're influencing your grandchildren. I promise you, it happens. Maybe you don't have a family. Well, are you working? I guarantee you, you can influence your coworkers or your neighbors. Have you thought about the influence you have in your neighborhood? Or maybe someone you've never met. James told a story about, and I know it's happened many of times, but one time how he pulled over to help someone, or they were in the park and he helped someone with their vehicle. He never met him. How much influence did he have over that person? He may not know at that very moment, maybe later. Your action, your body language, and your attitude is influential. We need to allow the leaven of the kingdom to permeate our heart so it can impact someone else's. Hopefully you've taken the Word of God into your own heart. You've studied, you've meditated, and it has permeated you so that it can permeate someone else. Allow the Word to produce fruit in your life so that you become a leavening influence of the kingdom of God. By word, you share the gospel of the kingdom with others. By deed, you do good works that glorify God. For as leaven, we are also the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 tells us that. You're the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall you be seasoned? Is it then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man? You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light unto all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What were we created for? We were designed and created for glorifying Him, pleasing Him. That's what we were created for. That's it. That's the only reason. So I say to you today, influence your world. Notice I said your world. Well, you know, if you are Cooper or Kinsey, or Kaylin, or Nora, or Drew, or Finley, or Avery, or mundane. Your world may be small right now. It may be the kids in your school. It may be the kids in your neighborhood. It may be your brothers and sisters. It may be the kids in your class downstairs or upstairs. Maybe your teammates. But as you grow older, it might be your dorm room or your college campus. And then you get a little older and your world is different. Your world is not the world that you had when you were a little kid. Your influence then becomes your kids, your neighbors, your neighborhood, your community, your workers, co-workers, and your social community. Influence your world. In conclusion, what kind of leaven are you? We started here and we're going to end here. What kind of leaven are you? You know, I read a little bit about leaven to understand that it can grow moldy. It can, the bacteria can go bad. So it can just become useless powder. It doesn't work. And some of you who baked something and it didn't work, you go, oh, did I do something wrong or was it the leaven? Leaven can go bad. This parable reminds us that we've been describing this leaven as a positive force. But remember, you're going to be leaven, and you could be a negative force. You could be influencing others in a really, really bad way. Or your actions aren't beneficial to others around you. Luke chapter 12, verse 1 says, "In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they had trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, 'First of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.'" Beware that you're leaven. Beware that the things you say or do could be a bad thing, which would be a corruptible force and needs to be purged. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Don't be the leaven that needs to be purged. Don't be that piece of poana grass in a green that looks great, and you are that one little thing that needs to be plucked out. I watched a guy set on a green by hand with an ice pick and little by little pluck this poana out and chuck it. Don't be that little poana that needs to be removed. In business, we have something that we've been doing a lot at my work. We call it start, stop, and continue. Maybe some of you have been part of that. Something that you need to start today, or something you're doing that you need to stop doing, or something that you love that's going on you need to continue doing. And I would tell you today, or encourage you today, to say, are you allowing the grace of God to make you the kind of leaven that can be used for His glory? I hope this morning, if you find that your leaven is not useful for His glory, then stop. Stop doing what you're doing. If you find that you are contagious and you are helping others, your family, this church, your community, then keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing and just make sure that you're doing it in His name for His glory. Continue that. Maybe you are here this morning and you've never started being a positive piece of leaven. Maybe you haven't named Him as your Lord and Savior. There is no better time to do that than right now. We don't know what's going to happen when we leave here. But we have an opportunity. We are leaven, and so I encourage you this morning, what kind of leaven will you be? If you're not a good leaven, stop. You're not beneficial to any of the people around you, and you're not beneficial to God. If you're doing a great job, continue doing it. If you've never started, today's the time. as we stand and sing.